This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
One of the things we do, of course, is keep track of what's going on in Salem with the Oregon State Legislature and talk frequently with folks who represent at least parts of Douglas County. State Senator David Brock Smith in the midst of a busy day in Salem. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, pal. Thanks again.
So let's talk about, to begin, it seems to be one of the hot topics right now, the wildfire hazard map. And I understand you were just in a press conference about that a bit ago.
Yes, we had a press conference this morning at 11 o'clock. I was joined with House Minority Leader Christine Drazen, as well as Senator Robinson and Representative Owens, of course, our Representative Virgil Osborne, and about 20 other House and Senate Republicans to talk about repealing the wildfire hazard maps that are impacting over 100,000 Oregon properties in the state.
So talk about what you covered in that press conference.
Happy to. I mentioned that I appreciate Governor Kotek engaging in this issue, and she preempted our press conference knowing that it was going to happen with a press release that she had this morning. But unfortunately, in her press release, she talks about the fact that, she quotes, "Oregonians have raised concerns over the current Oregon statewide wildfire hazard map, and this issue runs parallel to our urgent need for long-term sustainable funding for wildfire response." The issue that I have is, yes, they do run parallel, but we need to make sure that we repeal the wildfire hazard maps as soon as possible. And so I'm calling, and so did Christine, Representative Drazen, for the legislature to act prior to the March 7th deadline of when all those 106,000 property owners need to file an appeal and go through that process. And unfortunately, you know, many of those people will not because they're impacted, they didn't open the letter, and so forth. And so it is critically important that, and we have the ability to do so with Senator Robinson's repeal bill of Senate Bill 678 to do so, because we also have to address a few other things in regards to the appeal itself in Senate Bill 80 that was passed in 2023. I know that, and I've had multiple conversations with the architect, Senator Golden, with this legislation. I'm very familiar with this legislation because I had the wildfire omnibus bill in 2020 that didn't make it through the session, along with many other bills. As I was leading the effort to stop cap and trade, it was one of the many bills that died when everything else died in 2020. I brought it back in 2021. Golden had his version. We were able to get mine down to Ways and Means so that we can continue to try to stop Senator Golden's piece of legislation. Unfortunately, majority has the power in this building, and so they passed it, and here we are. We were able to, in the last days of the 2021 session, get literally the Senate Republicans. I talked to then Senator Hurd and Senator Thompson. They were able to stop the Senate floor session. I was then with Senator Johnson, and then Senator Beyer told then Senate President Peter Courtney that they couldn't support the bill as the current language. And then Speaker Kotek actually had to form a new committee and adopt an amendment that helped solve the crisis, which was in the bill, that would have made the International WUI Code statute in Oregon, and we would have been the only state in the nation to do so, which would have been much worse. But it was a long way to say I've been very involved in this issue for a long time. I appreciate the work that's been done, appreciate my colleagues for all their engagement, and really the public. And we're calling to make sure that we get this fix done. It's separate from wildfire funding, And, of course, the other issue that I've talked to you and our listeners about in the past is really the problem is the federal government and the mismanagement of the federal resources or timber resources. When 82% of the acres burned on a 10-year average are burned on federal lands, and of the 18% of the acres burned on private land, 15% of those acres are burned because of fires that come off federal land to private land. Above the 3% of fires that actually start on private land, 98% of them are kept to less than 100 acres because they're a managed resource. So the data is clear. And as I talked to you last time, Kyle, we have ways that we're moving forward to address that. My new position as CSG West, Council of State Governments West, co-chair on our new Wildfire and Emergency Management Committee. Our work in standing up a wildfire training center north of Gold Beach, with a lot of folks and support, including our work in D.C. to try to help with funding to get that done. We're going to be graduating a small batch of those wildland firefighters this fall, and then I have the legislation and a building that would help ease the transition from people in our wildland firefighters into fuel reduction work so that we can start within the WUIs, create those jobs in our woods again, through the thinning, ladder fuel reduction, prescribed fire, and post-fire harvest and replanting, as well as getting those local logs to our local mills again. So, lots going on in this space, but it was a good gathering today. We were all unified, and this is really a bicameral, bipartisan effort, because I know that Senator Golden has said that he wants to repeal the maps as well.
Now, let's talk about on Saturday, there was a town hall meeting in Roseburg to talk about that. You were one of the folks there. What kind of response did you get, and what did you hear from residents about the situation?
Well, first, I want to thank Representative Osborne for putting that together. There was about 150 folks there, so just shy, maybe closer to 200. And they are all upset and very concerned, as they should be, because, you know, 760 did do some good things with regards to resources for local our local fire districts in regards to setting aside resources for fuel reduction and individual properties. The problem is the bureaucracy that took hold of that after set through rule the issues that we have today, where it doesn't matter what kind of fuel reduction you do on your property. Essentially, it's still not going to get you out of the high hazard areas, which is critically important. And my previous legislation was bottom up, where local fire chiefs, local jurisdictions were the ones that were communicating with our residents to give them suggestions. Nothing was mandated. It was incentive based. It's always the carrot. But this legislation is the stick. It was a great presentation that kind of walked everyone through. We were able to do a number of questions and answers to allow people to ask their questions and the concerns of their property. And folks were very well informed and engaged, and I'm really glad that people were there. It's critically important that everyone knows, and I'm going to send a newsletter out to this later this week, that with links to the information that they need. And so it's critically important that everyone do file an appeal. You don't need to hire an attorney. You just need to get your appeal in the queue prior to the March 7th deadline. And that is what we're all telling folks to do so that they can get ahead of this. But again, it's our push to get the repeal before the 7th deadline so that we can just fix this problem now. And I'm hopeful that Senator Golden feels the same and that we'll be able to get that done, because we can have a hearing this week on the bill. Then we can vote on it and move it up on the agenda on the Senate floor and send it over to the House. We can get this done. So.
All right, we're going to talk more in a moment with State Senator David Brock-Smith live from Salem. The interview, KQEN podcast, 541radio.com. We'll have it posted right after 1 o'clock. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce will talk about parks in the county on Tuesday's Inside Douglas County program. Live from Salem, State Senator David Brock-Smith recovering the wildfire hazard map issue. And what was the level of concern at the meeting Saturday? Did residents already have a lot of concern, or were they just confused about exactly what was going on? What kind of things did you hear from people?
Oh, no, they were very concerned, Kyle. Thank you. Really, it's a taking of property. Senator Golden also has a piece of legislation, Senate Bill 79, in the session that wouldn't allow, anything larger than certain structure sizes within the WUIs. It's very problematic. There was one gentleman and Representative Osborne spoke about it at the press conference that talked about how he has, didn't remember the size of the property, about 200 acres and, multiple homes because it's generational property and how this is going to be impacting them. I mean, you're in a situation where the wildfire maps that came out didn't impact the insurance issues, even though many people feel they did, because the insurance companies already have their own matrix that they use. But when you have, what happened in Paradise, California, when you have a situation that just occurred down in Los Angeles, right, where a lot of those homes that burned, they had lost their insurance just a few months or a year prior. And so you're in a situation now where it's really the federal government, and I believe, and I'm working with Congressman Bent's office and Congresswoman Hoyle's office to find a bipartisan solution back in D.C., and that is going to be our work with our new, again, Council of State Governments West position as co-chair of the Wildfire and Emergency Preparedness Committee through them, so that we can raise our united voices on this issue for the western states from Wyoming to Alaska and Hawaii, about the wildfire risks that we have on these federal lands, so that we can get the congressional appropriations to our USFS and BLM, get boots on the ground and logs to our local mills to make our rural communities more resilient while employing people at the same time. So that is what I spoke about as well at the meeting on Saturday. It was well received because everyone in that room knows the data, knows that the wildfires that predominantly burn in our wet west side, if you will, are in our timberlands, are on federal lands, and they know it's because of their mismanaged stance.
Now, let's talk about other things that have been going on, but let me, before we jump to that, do you feel like this whole issue is kind of the front and center topic in the legislature right now, or do folks in urban areas, is this even on their map?
It is on their map because it impacts so many landowners from across the state. It's been one of the most critical topics for me, and I know Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce and Representative Scarlatos, since we started this this session, because of the looming deadline. As soon as the 60-day clock started back in January, this has been the priority. And I'm grateful, again, for the citizens for reaching out about it, because as soon as those maps came out again, which we thought, when they came out in 2022, there was huge pushback. They went back to the drawing board. But in a lot of ways, nothing's really changed out of these maps, and the data is flawed that created them, right? You have landowners that like over in Deschutes County, for example, butting up against federal land where there is literally properties that have done risk reduction strategies and cut down, reduced ladder fuels and cleared brush and so forth, that then have properties that are between them and the federal land. The property that's done the risk reduction is still in the map, where the properties that are high hazard map, excuse me, where the properties that are between that property and the federal lands are not in the high hazard. So it just needs to be repealed. Again, Senator Robinson has the vehicle to do it, and I'm hopeful that we will get it done by the 7th of March so that all this will be moot and we can move forward in then trying to solve the wildfire funding crisis that we have in the state.
So in the time we have left, talk about some of the other things that have been happening in Salem that are kind of rising to the top.
Well, I mean, so transportation, of course, is a huge issue. The Senate president tapped our colleague, who is the vice chair of the co-vice chair of the Joint Committee on Transportation, Senator Bruce Starr, to lead an accountability, an ODOT accountability group, to look at the department and the waste. It's important that we make sure that we have that deep dive in transportation and the waste. There's a lot of us that don't feel that our electric vehicle drivers pay their fair share. And I'm adamantly opposed to raising any taxes, let alone a gas tax on Oregonians. You have a situation where, you know, again, I think we talked about this last time as well, Kyle, where that apple from Hood River is more expensive to the folks in Roseburg and Brookings because of the transportation costs associated with getting that apple there to market. And that's true with many things that come in to the port of Portland. And so I'm hopeful that that we will get a deep dive into the ODOT spending and be able to get in there and do the DOGE cuts, so to speak, that are necessary within a department for savings to the citizens. We're looking at a piece of dredging legislation for the Port of Coos Bay. As you know, and I've just spoke about the Pacific Coast Intermodal Port project that we're looking at, the Port of Coos Bay, working with Congresswoman Hoyle. She was able to get two different grants of nearly $57 million to assist in that proposal moving forward. Having that intermodal port in the Port of Coos Bay, International Port of Coos Bay, will be transformative to be able to, for especially our producers in Southwest Oregon, to be able to have an export opportunity there with the intermodal port, or excuse me, with the intermodal hub in Eugene, to be able to rail those products and goods across the nation, but also bring products and goods to that Port of Coos Bay. It'll seriously reduce the transportation costs, especially for our cranberry growers and those producers that need refrigeration from having to be able to go out of currently the Port of Oakland or the Port of Tacoma. And so we're working on that. We are still working on the legislation for to keep the Rock Creek Hatchery open. It's critically important that we continue the work there on Rock Creek. Again, there's $17 million in insurance money to help rebuild that facility, and there's opportunities for the state as they're moving forward, thankfully, on going after additional FEMA dollars to assist in that endeavor as well. It's a critically important hatchery for all of our fishermen and anglers on the Umpqua. I think I spoke to you about, but we were successful in moving a bill out of one of my bills with Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce out of the Veterans Emergency Preparedness and Federal and World Affairs Committee that would allocate $500,000 to the County Veterans Service Office in Coos County, as well as the County Veterans Service Office in Curry County, to help with transportation to the veteran to the VA medical facility in Roseburg. And lastly, on that, we are having bills come up this week that I support on giving our veterans a tax credit on their property taxes. It's, you know, I mean, so many veterans are they struggle, but also they've given so much to our country. The least we can do is assist them in their later years in life. So we're hopeful that we can get something done there as well.
And what about the aspect of all these large federal cuts right now potentially impacting a veteran's home coming to Roseburg?
See, I firmly believe that the Trump administration, I mean, you're seeing, everyone is seeing just the waste of our collective taxpayer dollars. And I believe President Trump will be supporting our veterans. And even though we're a blue state, he understands that we have veterans in blue states too. And so I am going to be pushing that, and what I'd hoped would already occur in the omnibus budget bill that moved back in December, but that he include our tier one veterans homes in any funding package that will move in the beginning of his administration, so that we can, it employs people. But it also is, of course, construction jobs and so forth for our Douglas County and Roseburg community here. But I think that he's going to get it done, and we're pushing to that for that effort.
All right, we'll check in again soon. Live from Salem, State Senator David Brock Smith, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.